I was praying about what the Lord wanted me to minister here over these next few days. I began to, God, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to minister on? And He began to speak to me. And I'm going to tell you what He told me to minister on. And when I do, don't anybody get up and run out, okay? He said, I want you to minister on word and faith. And I said, okay, now hold on here, just a second. There's a lot of people don't want to hear anymore about word and faith or word of faith or whatever your favorite term you don't like. And he said, no, this is what I want you to minister on. He said, but I want you to do it right. He said, I want you to do it in a way that it has not been done by far too many preachers. So let's back up here and work our way forward to tonight. When my wife and I got married over 28 and a half years ago, we were in a church that's referred to as charismatic. Now, sadly, even that term has now become a sour taste in the mouths of many Christians. And the reason for it is because of all the craziness and goofiness that takes place in so many of the churches described as being charismatic. Well, the word charismatic itself is not a bad word, and it's not a bad term. It's just what has happened within those circles. Well, that's the church that we were in, and it really was a good church, a very good church. And you know, thank God for that. The pastor was very balanced. There wasn't a lot of the weirdo stuff going on. It was a good church. Well, we were taught about faith. And we were taught about, you got to live by faith and so forth. And they had different preachers come in, and the church began to grow. And at its peak, it was running about 900 people, which is pretty good because where we're from, Dayton, Ohio, as of this night, the greater Dayton, the metro area, the city of Dayton, and all the surrounding suburbs and so forth. A statistic here about a year and a half ago came out, said the total population is about 1 million. The city of Dayton itself does not have 1 million, trust me. It has about maybe 150,000 in the city limits. But the entire metro area, it's referred to as the Miami Valley, they said has about 1 million. Now, in the Miami Valley, in the Dayton metro area, there has never, ever been a full gospel church hit 2,000. Ever. Ever. Now, you go to Tulsa. The Tulsa metro area isn't as large as the Dayton metro area, and you have about 8 or 9 churches that are running between 2 and 15,000. You say, well, that's weird. What's going on? Well, there's a spiritual stronghold in the greater Dayton area. Now, what I'm getting at is the church we attended, when it got to about 900, that was a huge full gospel church in that area. It was, I don't know if it was the largest, but it was pretty close to it. And so we had a lot of guest preachers. In fact, Benny Hinn even came there once before he became internationally known. And so with all the faith teaching, and I was introduced to people like, not literally introduced, but introduced to the ministries of people like Kenneth Copeland and Kenneth Hagin and Fred Price and Charles Capps. I mean, all those faith people. And I was so excited about this because I'm learning things that I'd never learned before, never heard before. Portions of Scripture that I'd never been taught before are now being opened up to me. And it's like, praise God, man, look at this. Look what I've been missing all my life. This is great. And I wanted every book, every sermon I could get my hands on by Kenneth Copeland and Kenneth Hagin and Fred Price and Charles Capps, and on and on and on it went. And as time went on, we kept hearing these faith teachings. And a lot of the faith teachings centered around, your blessings, what you'll get from God. Now, I do want to lay a little bit of a disclaimer, and I don't want anybody here to think that I am criticizing Kenneth Copeland, Kenneth Hagin, Charles Capps, etc., etc., etc. I'm not. I'm not criticizing them at all. But within let's just call it the faith camp, which would include the itinerant preachers which travel around the world and preach, and the churches which identify themselves as, charismatic or full gospel, whatever. In that faith camp, there are an unbelievable number of preachers It's like all they ever focus on is the money and the blessings, what you can get. And so they teach about, you know, if you'll sow your seed, your financial seed, you're going to get incredible blessings. You're going to get, you know, the 30, 60, 100-fold and so forth. And if you have lost loved ones, you know, we're receiving an offering tonight for the salvation of lost loved ones. And we would hear things like this in some of the services we attended, maybe a guest preacher or whatever. And so it's like, yeah, you know, we've got lost family members. So, you know, seed for, you know, and you can't write all the names on that little memo line of the check. So you just write, you know, family and put it in there. Well, you need a car. Sow a seed. Okay, seed for car, seed for, you know, bed, seed for seed, you know, whatever. Just, and so we did this. And it's like, you know, the donkey where they hold that carrot out in front of the donkey. And that donkey just walks, you know, mile after mile, and he thinks, okay, one more mile, I got that carrot. One more mile, I got that carrot. That donkey never gets a carrot. Well, we never got the blessings. We never got, you know, you need a healing in your body here. Sow the seed for your healing. You need your financial miracle. Sow the seed. And then some of the preachers would say, God told me before the beginning of the service tonight that tonight was going to be a special, you know, hundredfold offering anointing upon, you know, the money that you give, blah, 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 et cetera, et cetera. So, you know, everybody wants to get on that. I mean, who wouldn't want to get on a deal like that? That's like somebody walking up to you and saying, listen, I can, you know, look into the future and I know what the winning lottery numbers are. And here, you know, well, sure, who wouldn't want to get in on a deal like that? And so, you know, we gave and we gave and gave and gave and gave and gave and gave. And then we gave some more and kept giving, just like everybody else. Well, you know, after a few years, you sit back and you look at this and you scratch your head and you think, okay, when is it these blessings are supposed to come? You know, we thought that by the end of this year, the Lord is going to move in your life because this offering tonight, God has promised. And then many times what they do, you know, they go back to the Old Testament and they'd pull out the name of some feast or some festival. And because it was a certain time of the year, they'd say, this is the time of year that corresponds with the festival of this and the feast of that. And there's a festival, feast, anointed blessing on the offering. And so, you know, we tried to get in on all of this, but then nobody ever got the blessings. I mean, the preachers did. Every camp meeting, every, you know. And I'm not trying to criticize them because I honestly believe they're trying to help. I do not believe that they were on purpose trying to mess people up. And the problem, though, is that some of these preachers, man, they just get so carried away with this. And you watch Christian television and they say, yes, you know, the next 15 minutes, the Lord told me the next 15 minutes, you've got to call now and you've got to pledge now. You know, the next 15 minutes, there is a, you know, 150-fold anointed and all this. And the crazy thing is, you know, they would rerun that program 12 hours later and that 15 minutes is already gone. You know what I'm saying? So anyway, thinking about all this and a lot of folks have really gotten burned over the years. Terribly burned. To the point that now if you mention Word and Faith, immediately people associate you with the Antichrist. They think, I don't want anything to do with Word and Faith. You know, get back, devil. Get thee behind me. They don't want to hear anything that you have to say. Here's what's so sad. The Word and Faith message, the truth, is as relevant today as it always has been, as it always will be. But you've got enough people out there that have messed enough other people's lives up to where now folks don't want to hear anything about it. Well, I want you to look in a few places here in Scripture, and I want to show you some things. Look in 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Because tonight we're really just going to kind of introduce this. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. And I tell you, you know, the Lord really had to do a work on me to help me to understand that I had been misled, that Kathy and I had been misled by a lot of the things that we heard. Not everything we heard was wrong, but a lot of the things that we heard were wrong. And a lot of truth had been misused and misused in a way to where it became deception, even though the core of the teaching was true. For example, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. For we walk by faith, not by sight. And so a verse like that is pulled out and everybody says, see there, we walk by faith, not by sight. If you're walking by faith, then you know God's going to bless you and you're going to have this and you're going to have that and life's going to be great and you're going to, you know, live like a child of the King. It's like, amen, praise God. You know, keep talking. You're getting me motivated. Well, look over in Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1 and in verse 17. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. So yes, amen, the just shall live by faith. And so we hear we're supposed to walk by faith, we hear we're supposed to live by faith, and the thing is, you can't deny that this is in Scripture. I mean, it's right there before you. So it's not like you can call the preacher a liar when he reads this and says, this is the way it's supposed to be. However, what I found out, for example, in verse 17, where it says, the just shall live by faith, quite frankly, the whole issue of financial blessings is way down the list relative to Romans 1:17. Because when you take verse 17 and you put it back in this chapter, in its setting, and you begin to see the flow of chapter 1 into chapter 2 into chapter 3, you begin to realize, well, for crying out loud, he's really not talking about money now, is he? He's talking about something else. Well, let's look at another place. Look in Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. And you know, these were verses that were used in a huge way in offering time. Verse 7, be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And in verse 9, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. So it's like, hallelujah, praise God. And then they receive the offering. And then they talk about your new car, and they talk about your new house, and they talk about all these wonderful blessings that are going to come your way. And if you look over in Mark chapter 11, the verse, a passage really, that's used in a huge way relative to faith and the faith movement. Mark chapter 11, in verse 22, it says, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. So what do we have here? We have Jesus saying, speak it in faith to receive it. And so we were taught, well, what do you need? Do you need $1 million? Then speak it. What do you need? A new car? Speak it. What do you need? This? Speak it. What do you need? That? Speak it. And so we were taught to confess all of these things. Now, it's not wrong to speak what you need. However, your confession has to line up with the Word of God, or you're not going to get anything. And that's the crazy thing about it. Because we were taught to confess everything we wanted, we weren't being taught to confess the things that God wants. And so therefore, I'm confessing money, I'm confessing cars, I'm confessing houses, I'm confessing jewelry, I'm confessing this. You understand what I'm saying? We're confessing all of these kinds of things, and God is up in heaven saying, well, now wait a minute, what about confessing my word about your life and the spiritual change that needs to take place? Well, we didn't want that. We just wanted the fun stuff. I just, my name is Jimmy. I'll take all you gimme. Come on, God, let's go. I'm confessing. And this is one of the reasons why people kept giving and confessing and confessing and giving and they never got anything. It's because we were confessing and giving to satisfy things of the flesh, not things of the Spirit. And so now you've got all these people who are so upset and so offended by this whole faith and confession move and teaching and the phrase faith and confession and word of faith and all this other, that now you've got Christians out there, they don't want to hear anything about it, and yet you can't deny the verses we just read in Scripture. The just shall live by faith. We walk by faith, not by sight. It's in there. So essentially what you have, people throwing the baby out with the bathwater. And you have people out there now that honestly, they don't want to hear anything at all about faith. They don't want to hear anything at all about confession. The problem is, Jesus said, speak it and believe it and you'll receive it. However, Jesus was speaking from the perspective of the will of the Father, not the desires of the flesh, and that's where people have missed it. When I get taught, you know, what do you want in your life? What are you seeking? What do you believe in God for? What desires do you have? And then confess it. Well, I confess that I'm going to go on a cruise someday. I confess that I'll, you know, be this and I'll be that. I confess all these wonderful things that I'm going to have. And God said, no, wait a second. The one thing you need to do is conform to the image of my Son Jesus. Why don't you start confessing that? I said, be therefore holy because I'm holy. Why aren't you confessing a holy lifestyle? Why aren't you confessing the very things that I want for your life instead of confessing the things that your flesh wants? And listen, guys, I'm telling you right now, there's a bunch of preachers, they are going to stand accountable big time before God because they have focused on the carnal and ignored the spiritual, and it's messed up people's lives big time. Now, in this passage, in the verses that we've seen tonight, we took a look over in Romans. We took a look over there in 2 Corinthians. And I'd like you to take a look over in... Take a look over in Ephesians. And here in Ephesians, what we have is Paul giving instructions to the body of Christ. And he starts off, you know, in chapter 1, verse 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints that are at Ephesus, and so on and so forth. And in verse 3, he says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all, and what's the next two words? Spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Spiritual blessing. So now when it comes to us operating in the blessings of God and seeing blessings manifest in our life, what in the world kind of blessings do you think God is working on? It's the spiritual blessings. God is a spirit. And trust me, He's focusing on our spiritual relationship, our spiritual life, our spiritual image, everything we are spiritually in Christ, more than He is focusing on anything else. So if my confession is relative to what God has said about me in His Word, who I've become in Christ, and so on and so forth, I'll guarantee you those things are going to start to come to pass. But the focus in the body of Christ that we've heard so much in the, you know, Word of Faith movement and all that is on the things of this earth, the things of this world. And Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And he just got through talking about, you know, the birds, they need to eat, and the flowers, they need to look pretty, and so on and so forth. And he says, your Father knows you need all these things. It's not like He's dumb. He knows you need all of these things. But the greater thing is for you to conform to the image of Christ. Seek first the kingdom of God. And the things that God wants to release into your life as far as natural things and natural blessings, He says, these things are going to be added unto you. In other words, God is guaranteeing if we get our focus on the spiritual as opposed to the natural, then God's going to add the natural to us. And the reason for it is because our focus won't be on the natural. You see what I'm saying? And this is why so many people have been turned off, because they've been promised natural stuff that has never come, and listen to me, it's never going to come as long as we are seeking first the natural things. Because seeking first the natural things will not cause the things of the kingdom to come to pass in our lives. Seek first the kingdom of God. Seek first the kingdom of God. And as we seek first the things of the kingdom, then God says, you know what? That loosens me, if you will, to release these other things into your life, because they will have lost their glamour to you. And they're just simply not going to mean as much. You know, why is it that I would confess, you know, for $100,000? That's because of what I wanted to buy for myself. And God's in heaven saying, Jim, I don't have a problem giving you $100,000. The problem is, if I give it to you, I want you to turn around and help this ministry over there. Help that missionary over there. Help that preacher over there. Help this hurting family over here. He says, well, I can give you $100,000. That's not the deal. The deal is what you're going to do with it after I give it to you. And if you're seeking first the kingdom of God, then I'm going to be able to start bringing blessings into your life. You know, I share this many times, and some of you have probably heard it. But years ago when I was praying and I was asking God about, you know, my ministry and what He wanted me to do, and here I am, a pastor. And, you know, if you take a look at just the things of this world relative to churches, it's basically the same concept in that the preachers tell the pew people, you know what I mean? The non-preachers. The preachers tell the pew people, confess, believe, so on and so forth, to get stuff. Okay, now what we do then, as pastors, we hold our church growth seminars. And we will teach you how to grow your church. We will teach you how to attract the people to get them in. We will teach you how to keep them once they get there. And so it's like, well, praise God, you know, man, my church has got to grow, so let's go find out what's the latest thing. What's the latest trend? And so like I've mentioned this before, how, you know, back in the 60s and early 70s, the big thing was the bus ministry. Everybody wanted to have a bus, you know, buy these old school buses and go around the neighborhoods, bring the kids, and, you know, build your church, grow your church, and so forth. And it's not that a growing church is a bad thing. But the Lord spoke to me, and He said, Jim, I didn't call you to build a church. He said, I called you to build people and my kingdom and teach those who would receive it. He said, well, praise God. You know what? I don't ever have to go to a church growth seminar. Ever. I have a church growth seminar. You know what it is? Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. I don't see. And when God said that to me, you know what that did? That completely lifted all the pressure of trying to grow my church. So now I don't have to grow my church. All I have to do is find my purpose in His kingdom as a pastor and what He wants done in our congregation, and just do it. Just do it. And when I begin to get a hold of the kingdom purpose as opposed to the earthly purpose, as opposed to the natural purpose, as opposed to the denominational purpose and all these other things, when I begin to grab a hold of the kingdom vision and the kingdom purpose, then I begin to lose my territorialistic mindset. The people around here belong to me and my church. Bless God, we're going to win them. Don't you come anywhere. If you even think about trying to start a church within 10 miles of my church, there's going to be trouble. And that's, hey, I'm not making that up. But you know what? If it's kingdom purpose, who cares? So if you start a church within 3 miles of my church, I'm going to assume God told you to. And I'm not going to attack you. I'm not going to come against you. I'm going to assume God told you to. See, I can't worry about what other people do, whether they miss God or they find His will. I can't. That's not it. I got to do what God tells me to do. And if somebody makes a $50,000 gift to our ministry, and God says, put it in the bank, and then I want you to write $5,000-$10,000 checks to this ministry, that church, this thing, and that thing, and send it out. Fine. I'll do it. Yes, but what if somebody else's church grows to be bigger than yours? It's not my kingdom. Do you understand what I'm saying? And see, all of that is a variation on the theme of give to get more. Sow to reap more for yourself. It extends over into the church arena, and a lot of people don't even recognize that's exactly what's happening. It's just a variation on the theme. We're not seeking first the kingdom of God. We're seeking what we can do to build what we are doing. It's like, no. I seek God so I can build what He is doing. Jesus said, on this rock, I'll build my church. So we're just an outpost for the kingdom. That's all we are. Is that I'm just, if use earthly, worldly terms, I'm just a manager of a franchise that God set up. You understand what I'm saying? So here we are in the Word of God, and God is talking about, look, you've got to live by faith. Well, what does live by faith mean? Well, it means live according to what God has already said in His Word. Meaning, if I don't really know what God has said in His Word, then I will not know how to live. So, if I take Luke 6:38, give, it'll be given unto you, pressed down, shaken together, you know, running over, it'll be given to your bosom, and so on and so forth. If I take Luke 6:38 and I yank it out of the chapter, and then I tell people, there is your promise of blessings. God's up in heaven saying, wait a minute, there's a verse 1 through 37 before verse 38, and then there's a bunch of verses after verse 38. Why don't you put that verse back in the chapter and find out what it's really saying? Well, see, when you do that, that messes up a whole lot of your offerings. Because when you leave it in its setting, you can't use Luke 6:38 in a church offering. And people say, well, I just don't believe that. Well, why? You know why you don't believe that? That's because nobody's taken the time to teach the entire sixth chapter of Luke. All they've done is pull one verse out of the whole chapter and told you it's about you getting rich. And God is saying, no, 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 that's not about you getting rich. It's about extending my mercy, my grace, and my love to the people around you and spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's not about your pocketbook. And see, some folks, man, they get madder than a wet hen at you for saying something like that. And the only reason for it is because the seeds of wrong teaching have been sown so deeply in us, and the roots go all the way down to our toenails. When somebody comes along and says, well, why don't you put the verse back in the whole chapter and find out what it's saying? It's like, well, no, I remember a story one time. There was a minister sitting in a service, and a man was up preaching, and preaching out of Psalms somewhere. And when the service was over, the minister and the congregation went to the preacher, and he said, you know, well, you know, your service, your sermon, et cetera, et cetera. But how come you didn't go on to verse 12? And he said, well, you know, and he kind of hem-hawed around. And he said, but why didn't you go on to verse 12 or verse 14 or whatever it was? And finally the preacher looked at it, the minister that was in the congregation. He said, cause if I had done that, it would have messed up my sermon. Is that crazy or what? It's bad enough that you get it wrong, but when you know you get it wrong and you still do it anyway, that's nuts. Yeah. That's nuts. And so, you know, the whole Luke 6:38 thing, it's because even the guys standing up teaching it and using it have never themselves gone back and studied the entire chapter to find out what Jesus was talking about. So here we are today, God is saying live by faith, and we're promised all these incredible blessings. Look over in 2 Corinthians. In Galatians, it talked about, you know, sow and you're going to reap. Well, okay, I can do that. And then we're told live by faith and walk by faith, not by sight. The just shall live by faith. And all of that was written by the same guy, the Apostle Paul. And those verses, the just shall live by faith, walk by faith, not by sight, give, sow, and you know, you'll reap abundantly and so forth. All those are used. And we're promised that if we apply those to our lives and we do these things, sow and we're going to reap, we're going to get a bunch of stuff in our lives. That our lives are going to be great. We're going to walk in the blessings of God. That we're going to walk in the overflow of God's grace and mercy and love and all these kind of things. And that, you know, we're going to start living like a child of the King and looking like a child of a King and so on and so forth. And so in our minds, we have all these visions of, man, new fancy cars and big fancy house and all kinds of really cool stuff because, you know, God loves me and I'm His child. Well, I want to show you something in this. The man who wrote verses that we've looked at tonight, verses that are used to promise us blessings beyond imagination, also wrote these things here. If you look in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, we're going to have to kind of jump in this, verse 21. Paul writes, I speak as concerning reproach, as though we had been weak. Howbeit, wherein soever any is bold, I speak foolishly, I am bold also. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. Now stop right here. What has he done so far? He said, okay, all these preachers out there, you know, they want to impress you with their pedigree and all these wonderful things. He said, but listen to what's happened to me. In labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths oft. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day have I been in the deep. In journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by my own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Now, I don't know about you, but that sure does not sound like anybody who's living by faith. And this is the guy that wrote about living by faith. Now here's what's amazing. In all of these get rich if you give to me seminars and services, when the preachers have stood up and promised me blessings, hundredfold return, and they've quoted from the Apostle Paul about sowing and reaping and living by faith and walking by faith and so on and so forth, I don't remember those guys going to this right here. I don't remember them telling me about all of the struggles and the problems that Paul went through, the very guy that wrote about faith, the very guy that referred to about faith. I don't remember them telling me, yeah, you know, you follow the example of the Apostle Paul, look what you might be in for. You know why they don't do that? Because he kills the offering. It creates confusion. Wait a minute, you're telling me this guy wrote, you know, about walking by faith, the just shall live by faith, if I live by faith, I get all these blessings, and if I give, I'm going to reap abundantly, and so on and so forth. But then the same guy turned right around and talked about shipwrecks and beatings and struggles, about being naked? I mean, why didn't he just sow a seed? Why didn't he just give into your offering, preacher? Why didn't he just give into the ministry of the Apostle Peter? Why didn't he send a seed offering to Matthew or to James? Why didn't he do that? If he had done that, according to what you're telling me, why, he'd have never gone through any of this. Why didn't the man practice what he preached? The problem is, Paul never preached word and faith the way so many of these people have preached it. You know what you're seeing in here? You're seeing practical faith living. That's what you're seeing. In fact, when Paul was writing to... who was it? Anyway, he wrote about all these terrible things that had happened to him in one place after another. And you know what he said? Out of them all, God delivered me. But see, we're told, if we're living by faith, if we're sowing the way we're supposed to, we won't even encounter those things. And so the very guy who was our example of living by faith, he's saying, hey, it's going to happen. In fact, in verse 12, he explains why these things happened. If you take a look in verse 7. Well, in verses 1 through 6, let me briefly summarize. In verses 1 through 6, he's talking about encounters he's had with Jesus, how that Jesus gave to him teaching that he passed on to the body of Christ. Now, that's a real brief explanation. And then in verse 7, and lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations. What revelations? The revelations of who we are in Christ. There was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. In other words, Satan saw what was happening. Satan saw that Paul was getting these revelations from the very throne room of God, and Paul was turning around and giving the body of Christ the revelation of what it meant to be a Christian, of how to live as a Christian, of how to trust God, and so on and so forth, about our authority. Remember in Ephesians, he wrote about the spiritual warfare, putting on the armor of God and being able to defeat the enemy. And Satan says, this isn't good for us. We've got to do something about this. And so it says, that a messenger of Satan was sent to buffet him. And a lot of people have said that this thorn in the flesh was given to him by God. That's just plain flat out weird and crazy. Because it says right here, a messenger of Satan. Listen, if God wants to give you a thorn in the flesh, He doesn't have to go to Satan and say, could you help me out? God perfectly capable of messing up your life if He wants to, but thank God He doesn't want to. He loves us. So this was a messenger of Satan. Why? To try and stop the spread of the truth. To try and stop the delivery of the truth. And Paul lived by faith. Paul walked by faith. He's not going to say the just shall live by faith and then he turn around and not do it. He's not going to say we walk by faith, not by sight, and then turn around and not do it. He was doing all of this. And he still went through all of this stuff that you see in here. Look over in Philippians. Philippians chapter 4. And you know, here's another verse. 19. But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And usually what happens is they tag Philippians 4:19 at the end of their sow and give and everything else. But you'll notice that Philippians 4:19 is Philippians 4:19. Meaning there is a verse 1 through 18 before you get to 19. You see this? And Paul writes in verse 10, but I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want. You say, whoa, hold on here. You just talked about shipwreck. You just talked about beatings. You just talked about being in prison. You just talked about going around naked. You just talked about being hungry. You just talked about all this stuff. I mean, what are you talking about that you don't have want? You have want. Why are you saying you don't have want when the want is obviously manifested in your life? Well, look what he says. Not that I speak in respect of want. Now look here. Here it is. For I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. The perversion of the word and faith movement is teaching us not to be content. It is teaching us to long after things that may not at all be God's will for our lives. And Paul has said, hey, I've learned how to be content no matter what my situation. He said, wait a second, you were content in prison? Yep. He said, Paul, that's weird. He says, no, hold on, let me help you understand. I didn't say I liked it. I didn't say I enjoyed getting beaten. I didn't say it was a pleasure being naked and being shipwrecked. I didn't say that. What I said was, I learned to be content. Paul, I don't get it. How could you be content in a situation like that? Because I'm walking by faith, not by sight. I'm walking by faith in my relationship with Jesus Christ. And I know that God's going to help me some way, somehow. I know that God's going to be there for me. In fact, Paul even went on in another place to say, for to me, to live is Christ and to die is gain. In other words, I win no matter what. So if I do drown out here in this shipwreck, I still win because I'm going to be in the presence of God. But Paul, that doesn't sound like living by faith. You need to hear some of these guys' sermons. They know what you were saying. How come you don't know what you were saying? And Paul says, no, they don't have a clue what I'm talking about. They have taken the very principles that God gave to me by the ministry of the Holy Spirit and twisted them to mean something I never wrote. Something I never taught. And he says, I've learned to be content. It doesn't, whatever my condition, whatever my state, I've learned to be content. Don't like all my conditions, but I've learned to be content. I know, verse 12, I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things I am instructed, or I have learned, I have experienced both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. Whoa. Paul, if you're living by faith, you're not supposed to be suffering need. If you have a need, sow a seed. Come on, Paul, don't you know this? You just read Galatians again. You wrote it. And you're saying you've learned, you've experienced suffering need? I don't get it. And he says, look, walking by faith means seeking first the kingdom of God no matter what happens. That's what walking by faith is all about. And he says, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. In other words, he's saying, you know what? It doesn't matter if I have abundance, which he just said right in here, I've had abundance. And he's saying, and it doesn't matter if I'm suffering need. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. In other words, let's think of it like this. If God tells me to go to Ephesus, if that is His will for my life, and I look at my bank account and I don't have 50 cents in the bank account, I don't have to write to all the churches and beg and plead. I don't have to offer to cut up my anointed robe in little pieces and send it to them for an offering of 50 denarii or more. I don't have to do that. If God tells me to go to Ephesus, I know I can trust Him. And though I don't have the money to get to Ephesus right now, if I take the first step toward Ephesus, God is going to start moving on my behalf. And somehow, some way, I'll get there. Even if the ship sinks underneath me, and all I have is a piece of driftwood, my arms wrapped around it to stay afloat, that driftwood's going to get me to the other side, and I'll be at Ephesus. Now, do you see how that completely contradicts so much of the word and faith that we've heard? But guys, here's the thing. That is the word of faith, what I'm sharing with you here. This is word and faith. And I know that there have been times in my own life, you know, where God's had to really correct me in this. Because like I said, my wife and I heard all of these give and you're going to get it all sermons. And we gave and we're still waiting to get it all. And God corrected me. And it was... I don't know, but it was kind of a tough thing in a way when it finally got across to me, you know, all those cars and houses and all that money that you think you're going to get, well, you ain't going to get it. Not because of that. Not because of all that giving you did. If you get it, it'll be because it's what I know you need to have for the fulfillment of my will for your life. And I will begin to direct it into your life as a result of you trusting me and seeking first the kingdom of God. And all these things then will be added unto you. If I don't need a 40,000 square foot house, then why should I believe God for it? Yes, but God wants you to be happy. But if I've learned to be content in whatever state I am, then I'm not going to fuss about my financial situation. And here's the thing, when you learn to be content in Christ, you're not going to bellyache and complain to God about what you don't have. You're going to rejoice over what you do have. And the number one thing you do have is a Father in heaven who is your Father. Amen. Praise God. Amen. And see, there are a lot of faith preachers, man, they would not want a message like this to be preached because it messes up their offerings. When you're telling people you can't be blessed unless you give in this offering, you know what you're doing? You're absolutely contradicting the very essence of the faith message that God has given to us in His Word. You're saying, well, am I not supposed to give? Now, wait a minute. No, no, no. Because in other places, Paul talks about giving and how giving is the right thing and giving helps to get the, you know, he talks about how shall they hear if, you know, the preacher isn't sent. And so therefore, yeah, we have to be a part of giving for the spread of the gospel, for the spread of evangelism and things like that. For to get the message that Jesus heals, that Jesus saves, that Jesus delivers. Yes, we're supposed to give. But the motivation of our heart is to be a kingdom motivation, not a personal motivation. And this is where so many Christians have been so messed up, and this is where they've gotten hurt. It's because preachers that honestly were well-meaning have misled people, twisted Scripture, and told people they're going to get something they're never going to get. It's never going to happen. The simple act of giving money cannot produce the abundant blessings of God. And yet that's how my wife and I were taught for so many years. Maybe some of you've heard these things as well. The simple act. Now, is it possible that God will tell somebody to give a certain amount of money? Well, absolutely. Sure, why wouldn't He? Father, what do you want me to give? Well, if He knows there's something you're supposed to give, He'll tell you. But here's the thing. He seeks obedience more than sacrifice. And how many times have we heard to give sacrificially in the offering so that we can get the blessings that God has promised? See, it doesn't even make Scripture sense, guys. But we hear that, and because we've just been duped. They didn't mean to, but they did. They duped us. And they kept teaching us over and over again, give to get, give to get. God honors obedience. If the obedience includes giving a certain amount in an offering, well, then He blesses the obedience. But He doesn't just pour out the blessings the way the preachers have told us as a result of just giving money. And man, anybody can give money in an offering. Anybody can do that. God's after the relationship. He's after us. He wants us to want to know Him. He wants us to be content in knowing Him. In fact, Paul even wrote about that when he was writing to the Corinthians. And he talked about how, you know what, guys, when I was with you and I'm ministering, he said, the only thing I wanted to know was Jesus Christ and Him crucified. That's it. I wasn't after your money. Because if you read 1 and 2 Corinthians, you can see how, if you read those passages in there, you'll see how that he had been accused of just being after their blessings. In other words, just being after their money. And he says, no, that's not why I was there. I'm not after your money. Corinth is a rich city. You're rich people. He said, but I'm not there for your money. I just want to know Jesus Christ and Him crucified. God sent me to Corinth not to get your money, but to help you to know Jesus. That's what it's all about. And this is the true word and faith movement, or message, if you will. It's just been twisted over the years. And over the next few days, we're going to take a look in Scripture more about, you know, the whole thing of living by faith and so forth. And to be honest with you, I don't know what direction this is all going to go. In fact, we may have some messages that don't even sound like they're faith messages, but they are. I remember when God had me teach this series on prosperity. It was 44 sermons long. And I told the folks, I said, now listen, when we start in on this, you're not going to think I'm talking about prosperity at all. And the reason for it is because we've got to lay the right foundation of God's Word before we can even begin talking about blessings and prosperity and so forth. And so by the time we got to actually talking about the financial blessings and the prosperity and so forth, man, the foundation of the Word of... In other words, during the laying of that foundation, got our focus directed upon the Word of God as opposed to our focus being directed on getting more. There are if you want to have a seminar that is highly attended, there are two subjects you can teach on and the people are going to flock. Number one is prophecy. End time prophecy. Everybody want to know, you know, who's the latest Antichrist? You know, for years it was Ronald Reagan. Then it was Henry Kissinger. Now people are saying it's Barack Obama. Some people have said King Juan Carlos of Spain. I mean, on and on and on it goes. So, you know, the people will flock. End time prophecy seminar. And the other one is prosperity. People want to get rich. Especially in these troubled economic times. Hey, if you want to get the blessings, listen, you can tap into God's economic stimulus plan by sending... And I heard that. I heard it. It was on television. A preacher was on television talking about God's economic stimulus plan, and here's the offering that you give to get involved with that. It's, my gosh. It's insanity. If I learn to be content in my relationship with Christ... Yeah, there may be a lot of things I want in this world, but my contentment will be in Christ, not in all the stuff that I want or think I need to have. You know, I shared earlier tonight how with all of our CDs and DVDs, everything we have, we don't charge for anything. And it's not because charging is wrong. If God says to charge for something, we'll charge for it. I don't have a problem with that. It's just that at this point in time, God... Well, years ago, he said, you know, don't charge. And so therefore, we don't charge for anything. And let me tell you something, guys. We've missed out on a lot of money because of it. Because, see, I know what it costs to produce these things. And when you produce them in the thousands and the tens of thousands, production cost is even lower than what it is for us as we produce them in the tens. And so we've missed out on a lot of money by not charging for things. But you know what? That's not what it's about. Okay, yeah, so we've missed out on thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars because we haven't charged. But you know what? We're doing what God wants. And I'll tell you this, there's a lot of people out there who have gotten materials in their hands that they couldn't have afforded if they'd had to pay even $5 for for something. And you know, I feel good about that. We've got inmates in prisons that have written, thank you, thank you, thank you for sending this. We've had inmates write and tell us about how that, you know, their friends have gotten saved because of materials we sent and they were able to listen. In fact, one of the, it was tremendous. We had an inmate write in and talk about how, you know, he'd want to be filled with the Holy Ghost for years. And by listening to what we sent him, right there in his cell, all alone. Nobody went in, laid hands on him. Nobody, any. Just right there in his, he listened. Because we've got a CD on how to be filled with the Holy Spirit. It's a 15-minute recording of an altar service where I'm ministering to somebody about being filled with the Holy Ghost. And the prayer is there to be filled. And then I'm praying in tongues. And the other person's praying in the Spirit and so forth. And people listen. And this guy said, I listened to that right there in my cell. Just me and that CD. And I'm listening. He said, and I got filled with the Holy Ghost right there in my cell. And he said, then I invited some of my other inmates that were saved to come in. And they got filled with the Holy Ghost. He said, now we're having a Bible study in my cell. He said, it's incredible what is happening. And God gets the glory for this, man. God gets the glory for this. The word and faith message has been twisted. And I'm telling you, God wants it. He wants it restored to the balance that is revealed in His word. He wants the goofiness out and the truth given to the people. Because years ago, when it was first being taught, there was balanced truth. And it's just that other people, man, immature preachers, spiritually immature, got a hold of stuff, twisted it, and it has messed up so many people's lives. And I'm here to tell you, one of the keys to truly living Word and faith is to learn to be content in your relationship with Jesus. If the million-dollar blessings come, praise God for it, man. Praise God for it. Hallelujah. But if they don't, you know, I've learned to be content in all things.